For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time to bring in our man, the one and only Bill Shanks, who checks in on a day that the Braves are coming off a 17-2 loss. 93.1 FM in Macon, 99.5 FM in Warner Robins. Also, Macon Telegraph, Macon.com. Hey, Bill, how are you today?
Boy, that Ronald Acuna had a great game last night. Did you hear about that?
Let me ask you. And I guess technically they played – well, they finished the game from the night before, and then they had their regular game. So he goes 5-for-10, 2 homers, a double, and 5 RBIs to raise his batting average to .336. And Sam asked the question that we asked you again – or that we asked last week, is he going to get a September call-up? What do you think?
I think it's gone, David, from no to we got to think about this.
Yeah.
And I knew this would happen if he continued on this pace, because it's getting stupid. I mean, look, from a technical aspect, it's a lot smarter to not call him up, and almost really more smart to wait until, you know, like late April, like they did, the Cubs did with Chris Bryant, to get that extra year of being under control. But this is stupid. This is crazy. And, you know, the only difference in Ronald Acuna's story for this season and what Andrew Jones did in 1996 is the status of the team. The Braves in 96, obviously, were coming off a World Series championship. They were the favorite to win it again. They were on their way to winning it again, especially after Andrew Jones hit 2 home runs in Game 2 of the World Series in New York City. And they thought that Andrew could help him, which he did. He didn't. His numbers were okay, and they weren't great. But, I mean, obviously he did what he did in the World Series, and that was the best part. But, you know, the Braves obviously are in a totally different situation now. They are struggling, to say the least. They have had a rough month here, and so that's the only difference. And, boy, I tell you, he's tempting them. I don't know what I would do, because, from an administrative standpoint, from a contractual standpoint, it makes total sense if they say, we're not bringing this guy up. In fact, you know, even if they came out and said, which they wouldn't say that publicly, we're not going to bring him up until May 1st because we're going to get that extra year of control. But, my God, this kid is unbelievable, David. You know, we talked in spring training, and everybody was saying he's the next Andrew Jones. Look at him. Watch how he performs in the outfield. Watch how he hits. But for him to take the exact same track to start in high A, to go to double A, and to do better at each level, and the best he's done was at triple A at 19, is just amazing to me. I mean, look, I was fully aware of what was going on in 96 because I was in Macon here. I just got to Macon in 96 and just missed Andrew's great year here in Macon when he spent the entire season in 95 here with the Macon Braves. And when he got called up, went to Atlanta and saw him for the first time and seen him in spring training. I mean, he was a mogul of a prospect. It was crazy how he was. And to know that they've got another one 21 years later is scary.
Yeah, by the way, the 7 home runs at Gwinnett now gives him 27 homers this year, 106 RBIs. And has he also stolen, let's
now,
see.
Now, hold on. You're looking at the entire
oh, that's for his career. I'm sorry. For this year, he's got 19 homers and 69 RBIs. I'm sorry. And he's stolen 37 bases. I'm sorry. And he's hitting .321. Unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Thank you for the clarification. Yeah, he's 19.
At 19.
Well, you know, when Chris Bryant was being held back by the Cubs, you know, the Cubs were catching so much flack for doing that. But you know what? I don't hear anybody talking about him now about it. So,
no.
You know, I don't hear that coming up. So, if the Braves did decide to wait until next year, I guess I get it. But man, it's almost like he could. I mean, could he be in the could he be a starter for the Braves next year? I'm talking about when the season starts.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think that, you know, they're going to have to make the decision of when the date is that they would have to bring him up to get that extra year of control. And do they have anybody that can start there temporarily? Because I think they're going to try to trade Kim Pandorn, Markakis this winter to make room for this kid. And, yeah, look, they didn't hold back Jason Hayward. You know, they obviously had him up beginning of the season 2010. They brought up Freddie Freeman at the end of 2010 to get a cup of coffee. They brought up Dansby Swanson last year. So it's not like they've done something like the Cubs have done. But, you know, you look at a kid like this, and, I mean, that's at least the thought process. But I think that – I mean, I was told 2 weeks ago, no, we're just not going to do this. But I just get a sense that it's at least being considered a little bit more now than it was before. And you know, I understand both. But, David, I think the temptation is more about for the fans. I think the fans understand. I think the fans get it. They know what can happen contractually if you hold off on a player. I just think everybody, fans, front office, everybody, just wants to see the kid. It's like when you got someone that looks this special and looks this superstar-like, my God, you're just anxious to see him. I mean, I'm tracking his at bat. I'm usually only watching pitching box scores at night. Here I am, you know, waiting for Ronald Acuna's next at bat every night, which is kind of sad. But anyway, it's just he's that kind of player.
Talking with Bill Shanks, Tony Schiavone told me, he's like, if you want to see him, come to Gwinnett.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's he right. There were a couple of expletives thrown in there as well. So, I mean, I get it.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's like I thought about going to Gwinnett and doing that, David, but then I thought, well, heck, my luck, I'll go and schedule a date to go there and, like, do my show and watch him and so forth, and they'll call him up.
All right, our man Bill Shanks along with us.
All right, I hate to be Debbie Downer here and switching gears to the big league club right now, but
let's just don't talk about it.
Okay, I mean, if you don't want to, I can switch it to football if you want. We can definitely talk some football as the Dogs are getting ready here for.
I'm kidding, Sam. I didn't watch all of it last night because, I mean, why do that?
All right, we'll get to Georgia football in a little bit, but the only thing I was really going to ask you about last night's game is, I mean, when you get down like that and everything, I mean, is it there just that kind of tendency to just kind of mail it in for the rest, and, you know, you're already like, well, we already lost this one, so let's just move on to the next one?
I don't think professional athletes rarely mail it in unless you're in the NBA, to be honest with you. I mean, they were getting beat. It was a home run derby. Fulte didn't have anything. I kind of fell asleep after Fulte left and missed Max Fried, it looked like, from what I read on the box score, that he did pretty well except for one pitch for a three-run home run, which is going to happen in Colorado. Look, they're struggling. And I know this sounds stupid, but I'm caring less about wins and losses now. I'm looking more about development. I mean, I love what Sean Newcomb did the night before last. I thought it was great that Snicker left him in there to face a situation when the base is loaded and one out, I believe it was, and he got out of the trouble. I hate that Fulte's had a couple of bad games throughout the last four that have been kind of bad, obviously, and he's got to snap out of that. But I'm hoping Dansby Swanson will continue to get better. And I think he has looked better since he's come back. I want to see more of Ozzie Albies. I want to see more of Max Fried. I can't wait to see who they bring up in September. I mean, the wins and losses now, they're out of it. We know that. It's unfortunate. It's not fun. But I truly believe, Sam, that most people are really enjoying watching these prospects, whether the team wins or loses, because they know that's the future. And I don't think a whole lot of people were watching last night, to be honest with you. I mean, you get down that much. Even in Colorado, it's like, the heck with this. We're not going to watch it. And it couldn't keep me awake, that's for sure. So, it's just a different situation, obviously, where a month ago when they got to 500, it was like, wow, this is kind of fun. This is great. This is what we love to see. And then it's kind of they fell off the tracks. And for a variety of reasons. The pitching in July was on for. It's been a little bit better this year before going to Colorado. And, you know, I mean, the pitching had really been better since they started the month of August, and then they went to Denver. And it's just been a rough three games. So, and we just have to have a different mindset. It, you know, the heck with the record. Who cares? I mean, it's they were never going to win the division. They were never going to win the wild card. This is about getting these players more prepared for next year and hope they make more moves to bring in better players. And seriously, I'm not being sarcastic here. The bigger stories last night were that Ronald Acuna did what he did and that Colby Allard had a great game in Double-A and that Joy Wentz is becoming perhaps in the category of one of the better prospects in the farm system and perhaps one of the best in baseball. That's the bigger story with this team still, unfortunately. I mean, a month ago it was about, wow, the team's at 500, but now we're back to, well, let's look what's going on in the minor leagues and find a silver lining there. And you know, it's hopefully they can have a strong finish like they did last year, but this has obviously been a horrible month here in the last 4 weeks since they got to 500. It's just been brutal.
And the weird thing is that Teron threw 7 scoreless innings in the first game of this series. Just bizarre. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was great. I think Newcomb, I love what I saw from Newcomb the other night. I know Newcomb walks too many people, but David, he's striking people out. He's limiting hits, which is exactly what he did in the minor leagues. His hits innings pitch ratio in the minors, David, was always really good. He just allows base runners through walks, and that's obviously a big problem. I mean, I'm not trying to minimize the problem of walking people, but he strikes people out. He's really good at that. So, but you know, then the Faulty, obviously, I don't know what the deal has been with Faulty these last two starts. He had a great start he had 2 weeks ago against the Marlins on that Saturday night when he struck out 11. Looked like Scherzer out there, and now the last two starts he's been awful. So it's just the ups and downs of the. Well, we've been through this. The team, I mean, Julio Teheran up and down, good and bad. Faulty, good and bad at times. I mean, it's just been the storyline on here, which is really tough to watch on a daily basis. It is. Because you don't know what to expect. I mean, who Lucas Sims today? Lucas could go give up 10 runs, or he might give up, you know, 2 runs in 6 innings for all we know. We have no idea what to expect.
And to me, it's almost hard to hold it against them, especially the younger guys in Colorado, only because I think there's that mental aspect of it as well about pitching out there. And I think that was Faulty's second career start in Colorado, I think. And I mean, I'm not saying that he gets a pass, but I was even reading about the guy that was pitching for the Rockies last night, John Gray, who's a young guy. And when he was called up, he'd been fighting a little bit of the, oh gosh, I got to pitch here in Denver, you know, situation. So maybe some of those guys just go through that. And I guess, you know, Sims will be pitching out there for the first time. And, you know, like you said, he could give up 10 runs in 2 innings, or he might go out and have a quality start. You don't know right now.
You don't know. It's just so unpredictable. And I'm going to try to go back today if I have a minute and try to watch what Max Fried looked like, because it just seemed, I mean, he had 3 walks, gave up 3 runs. I don't know how many of those walks were on base when he gave up the home run. But, I mean, it's those things like that, you know, of things like how did Newcomb fare when Snicker left him out there with the bases loaded and one out after he had already given up 3 runs? And Sean Newcomb did well. You know, how will Max Fried bounce back from this first bad appearance that he's had? Well, we'll see the next time he pitches. It's those type things that I know people, they scoff at a little bit, but I mean, when you're in this situation right now on August 17th, this is what it is. This is reality for this team, and that includes just closely monitoring the young players that are going to be a big part of your team next year.
Talking with Bill Shanks as the Braves get set to take on the Rockies this afternoon at 3:10.
Yeah, and I guess my last real question for you in terms of the Braves now is, you know, you talk about call-ups, you talk about all this stuff, but what does not Brian Snicker because he's not playing, but what does this team have to do to kind of make you feel better about this season here as we wind down kind of in that last month or month and a half, so to speak?
I don't know if you can feel better about the season overall. I think you have to instead feel better about what you see from an individual basis with these players. If Dansby Swanson can finish strong, I mean, this is the when I said August 17th a minute ago, it reminded me that was the date a year ago last year in 2016 when Dansby got called up. You know, if Dansby can continue to look better as he has. I think he was 1-for-3 last night. He's looked better since he's been back up. Hadn't been great, but, I mean, he's been better. To see the progress of Dansby, to see the individual progress, Sam, of how these young players are doing, that's the much more important. I think that we'll – and, yeah, we hope they have a better September so they can finish closer to 500. The record could be nice, better, and they won't have a record like they did a year ago. I mean, I've already had some fans tell me on Twitter, Bill, look, heck with this record. Let's just get a draft pick. Let's just, you know, hey, let them figure out what they need to do with these young players. If they lose, they lose, because that'll get us a better draft pick. And that's the mindset of a fan that's watching their team be in a rebuilding process. But I think you just monitor the progress of your young players. That, I think, will define this season. Because I believe that right now, if the season ended today, there's more positive than negative for this team, even at the big league level, with some of the things that have happened, including Fulton Nevich, even though he pitched horribly last night, including Newcomb, including what we've seen from the call-up of Ozzie Albies and of course, just the continued good play of several other players, and Camargo, obviously, emerging is a factor that we didn't expect, and knowing that there's a lot of talent on the way. I mean, that's still the mindset, I think, of the Braves fan base, to be honest with you, is much more positive than you would think for a team that has a record like this and has been through 3 straight years of losing baseball, because they see what's going on here.
Hey, by the way, last night was the here's your nugget for last night. It was the last post 7 o'clock start, so all the rest of the games on the schedule are night games that start at 7:35 or earlier.
Good. Good, because I'm getting close to your age, so I can't get
it. Although they do have that doubleheader on the 25th, I think, against the Mets at the end of September. Mm-hmm. That one, there might be some weird stuff going on there. But anyway, hey, yeah. Before we let you go, all right, we're 16 days out. How you feeling?
I can't wait. I'm just, this is just such a great time in the calendar. I mean, you know, David, from just years of me being on the show, knowing me a little bit, I love the month of March because of spring training and anticipation for baseball season. And August is the same thing for football. It's just unbelievable. I mean, the football, high school football season gets kicked off tonight with 2 games here in Macon, and then more games tomorrow. My first high school football TV show is tomorrow night on 41 NBC.
Cool.
And of course, the college being right around the corner, and just getting these little nuggets and scoops from all of the reporters, some of which we have on both of our shows, are just great. And hey, what happened to Malcolm Parrish? I mean, everybody holds their breath, don't they, in August. It's like, oh my gosh, just don't let anything happen. And that may be the first, hopefully the only thing that happens for Georgia injury wise but I can't wait. I'm excited, and I feel good about everything. I mean we don't know what's going on. We don't have the full scoopage. We have bits and pieces from the guys who can tell us as much as they know. We don't know everything, but from what I'm hearing, I feel good about everything for Georgia. I do. I just am excited, and I probably need to temper my enthusiasm a little bit, but I think things are better, and I think that next step on the ladder is just getting this team better in certain areas, and I think they are. I mean, I love what I hear about the players emerging on the line, Andrew Thomas and Ben Cleveland getting better, and just how the line's taking shape, and the wide receivers, obviously. That's exciting me a lot. So, and, you know, to hear what we hear about Webb and Swift is ridiculously exciting, I think. So, heck, I'm ready. I wish it was tomorrow.
You the man. Thanks so much, Bill. Always great talking to you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Bill Shanks, the one and only.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.